thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
So we're going to continue with our Psalm series. We're going to be looking at Psalm 62 today. If you have your Bibles with you, let's open up to Psalm 62. And let me ask you to rise for the reading of God's Word. For the director of music, for Jeduthun, a psalm of David. Truly my soul finds rest in God. My salvation comes from him. Truly he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down? This leaning wall, this tottering fence? Surely they intend to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies. With their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. Yes, my soul find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. My salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge. Surely the lowborn are but a breath. The highborn are but a lie. If weighed on a balance, they are nothing. Together, they are only a breath. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. One thing God has spoken, two things I have heard. Power belongs to you, God, and with you, Lord, is unfailing love. And you reward everyone according to what they have done. Thank you, Father, for these words. Lord God, as we once again draw our attention to this great psalm, Psalm of David, Holy Spirit, we ask that you open up our hearts, help us to see you, Jesus, today. Transform our hearts from the inside out. Thank you. In your name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. So as Kyle said, Friday, October 31st, we were out here handing out candy. And it's also Reformation Day. So Reformation Day was October 31st, 1517, 508 years ago. And that's when Luther nailed the 95 Theses at Wittenberg. A few years later, in 1521, there was the Diet of Worms, right? Diet of Worms, right? And what was that? That was the people, like the courts and the kings and the church leaders basically trying to convict Martin Luther for what he's done. And at the Edict of Worms, they concluded that Luther was a heretic and an outlaw, and they banned all his writings. What they wanted him to do was to recant everything that he wrote and he nailed. And this is what he said in front of the many. He said, "My conscience is captive to the word of God. Here I stand. I can do no other. God, help me." So that's what happened. That was the beginning of the Reformation as we know it. And the Reformation Day launched a movement. We're known as Protestants because we protested. We're the protesters, and that's what happened. And so that kind of leads to what we know as the five solas. And Martin Luther was sure to make sure that Scripture was the number one priority, right? So sola scriptura, sola fide, sola gratia, sola Christus, and soli Deo Gloria, which is another way of saying this is basically we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, as revealed in Scripture alone, to the glory of God alone. Alone, 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 alone. And we could sum this up in two words, and it's basically God alone. God alone. And this is basically the theme of Psalm 62. Psalm 62, verse 5. Here's a different translation, the NEB. It says, patiently wait for God alone, my soul, for he is the one who gives me hope. So it's about God alone, that we need to place our trust in God alone. Everything is about God alone. We can't trust in God and something else. And that word alone is used many times in this psalm. That's the theme of our psalm today. So let's take a look at Psalm 62. And of course, it begins with, for the director of music. This is similar to last week's psalm. So this is a song. It's a worship song. And David directed this to be to the director of music for Jeduthun. We talked about Jeduthun last time as well. It was one of David's chief musicians appointed to lead public worship. So this was meant to be sung at a worship service like what we had today. And this is a psalm of David. A psalm of David. Now, when we read Psalms of David, usually David is in trouble and he's crying out to God. And typically, when David cries out to God, he asks for help. He'll praise God, but then there's a part where he says, God, I need you to help me. God, you need to take care of my enemies. God, rescue me. God, help me. But in this psalm, what's interesting is there's no cry for help. So in Psalm 62, it's a good model for us because, let's face it, we face trouble. I feel like I face trouble all the time. So instead of just crying out to God and asking him for help, let's see how David calls out to God. And he starts with a declaration. He declares that he's trusting in God. He says, truly, my soul finds rest in God. Truly. That word truly is alone or only. It can be translated as alone or only. So only my soul finds rest in God. If you have your ESV Bibles, you'll notice it says instead of finds rest, it says waits in silence. The literal translation is, only towards God, my soul is silent. So whether it's waiting or resting in God, the idea is complete trust. My soul finds rest. I trust in God alone. And then he declares, my salvation comes from him. Truly, that word is alone again. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. Do you see the confidence he has in God? My rock, my salvation. He is my fortress, and I will never be shaken. What a way to declare your faith in God. So as he's facing troubles, he's declaring that he is going to trust in God. Brothers and sisters, when you're facing difficulties, let's begin with a similar declaration, the same declaration that David is declaring. We're able to do it as well. Because Jesus Christ is our rock. Amen? So instead of just crying out, asking for help, let's declare to the world that God is my rock, that God is my salvation, and He is my fortress. And once you believe in this, and once you know this, then you're going to be able to face all the troubles in the world. Why? Because this, the troubles that we're facing, it's temporary. And we will one day be with our God. So that's what David says. His rest comes from God. He trusts in God. And then he reveals a little bit about his situation. In verses 3 and 4, he talks about people who are assaulting him. How long will you assault me? Would all of you throw me down this leaning wall, this tottering fence? So clearly he is being attacked by people he once trusted. And boy, that's the worst feeling. I don't know if you've ever been betrayed. But when you are, it's just a lot of times when I'm betrayed, I don't know what to do with my disappointments. I'm so disappointed. Lifelong friends just walking away. Why? Why? He continues, surely they intended to topple me from my lofty place. They take delight in lies, and with their mouths they bless, but in their hearts they curse. I feel like they're describing the world. With their mouths they bless. Have you ever experienced that? Like people are blessing you, but behind the scenes they're just talking bad about you. You know, that happens a lot. But the sad reality is that doesn't just happen outside the church. It also happens inside the church. I caught on to this because I remember there are a few folks, when I speak to them, they always talk about somebody who's not in the room. Have you ever experienced that? They always talk about somebody who's not in the room. Oh, that person is this, that person that. Oh, did you hear this? Did you hear that? And then I realized, who are they talking about when I'm not in the room? Right? They're talking about me. Right? And some of them are like leaders of the church. And when that happens, I get so disappointed. And what David is talking about here is just reminding us that there's nothing new under the sun. If you place your hope and trust in people, you will eventually be disappointed. The only way you'll not be disappointed is you need to place your trust in God alone. He needs to be your rock. He needs to be your salvation. He needs to be your fortress. So is he your rock today? Is he your rock? If not, what's preventing you from placing your trust in him? Let's go to God with all our problems. Amen? Amen. Amen. And then the next four verses 4 to 8, many commentators say that David is starting to preach to himself. Have you ever preached to yourself? I do all the time. Every Sunday when I preach, I feel like I'm preaching to myself. But what's the idea of preaching to yourself? You need to remind yourself about who God is. So we need to be reminded, right? Coming here on Sundays and hearing God's word preached once a week, it's just not enough. We need to read God's word and apply it to ourselves. And so David is preaching to himself. He is exhorting himself here in the next set of verses. He says, yes, my soul find rest in God alone. I put alone in parentheses because if you have the NIV like I'm preaching out of, the alone is not there, but it is there in the original text. So my soul finds rest in God alone. I wait for God alone. I trust in God alone. My hope comes from Him alone. It needs to come from Him alone. And then he says it again. Truly, He is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will not be shaken. Earlier, in verse 2, he says, I will never be shaken. Here, he says, I will not be shaken. So in verse 2, the idea is, there's a little bit of doubt in that I will never be shaken. But here, he is sure, 100% sure, that he is not going to be shaken. I'll not be shaken. So there's a little bit of a difference there in verse 2 and verse 6. But he will not be shaken. Who wants to be shaken? No one. How can we not be shaken? We need to make sure that we are anchored in Him, in our rock, Jesus Christ. We need to make sure that He is our salvation. And we need to make sure that He is our fortress, that He is the one who is protecting us. He continues, my salvation and my honor depend on God. He is my rock, mighty rock, and He is my refuge. So he has a two-point sermon here. One is rest in God or wait upon God. And the second is have faith in God, trust in God alone. He's reminding himself, I need to rest in God and I need to trust in God. And in order to rest in Him, we need to trust. Amen? So let's rest and trust in Him. And then in verse 8, he's sharing this to the rest of the people. He says, trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your hearts to Him, for God is our refuge. So David is reminding the people, he's reminding us that we need to trust in God at all times and we need to pour our hearts to Him. What does that mean, to pour your hearts to God? Well, it's prayer. Right? Instead of complaining to those around you, we need to direct whatever's going on in our hearts to God. And that's what it means to pray. Pray individually, pray together as a church. This past Wednesday, there were 15 of us gathered here, and we prayed. And during the prayer time, we share prayer requests, and we've been praying for all of you. We had 41 prayer requests, and we prayed through each one. And as we were praying, we sensed God's presence here, and something very special happened. God showed up in the middle of our prayer, and our prayer was basically worship to Him. But there's no secret. You don't have to do that here. It's like, oh, Pastor Jay's saying, we got to come to church on Wednesdays. No, it's not. You have to come here, but you could have that same experience when you pray to God. If you're home, pray with your family. If you can't come here, that's okay. Wherever you live, if you have believers among you, just gather and pray. Pour out your hearts to Him, for He is our refuge. So God is calling us to pray. David is reminding us to pray. And so let's be a people of prayer. And then David talks about the pointlessness of man, placing your trust in man. Surely, the lowborn are but a breath, the highborn are but a lie. That's an expression, lowborn, highborn. That just means everyone. Like we're nobodies, we're nothing. If weighed on a balance, they're nothing. And together they are only a breath. So evil men are nothing is what Scripture is teaching us here. Do not trust in extortion or put vain hope in stolen goods. It's not about what we have here on earth. Though your riches increase, do not set your heart on them. Where are you placing your trust today? It needs to be God alone. It can't be God and something else. But let's be honest. If we really examine ourselves, is it really God alone or is it God plus something else? Whether it's our job or money or status or our families or relationships. We're not saying that we are not placing our trust in God. Most people who come to church, they do believe in God and they do place their trust in God, but it's not God alone. It's God plus something else. How do we know that? Since let's just look at our priorities. How are we spending our time? How are we spending our money? How are we spending our resources? How are we spending our talents? How are we living life? Is it God alone or is it God plus something else? This is a reminder. We have to let go of the everything else, and it needs to be God alone. Trust in God alone. Don't trust in the world. I'm preaching to myself as well. This is not just to people who are hearing this. This is me too. Like, it needs to be God alone. Oh, but I need something. We need a bigger building. We need this. We need that. It's like, okay, that's okay. But God alone, it's all in God's hands. Do you live that way? When your relationship's not working out with somebody, you know, sometimes we put our relationship, we elevate that. We raise that above God. And that's what keeps us up at night, you know. But it can't be that. It has to be God alone. When we can't pay our bills, we've been praying for jobs for people as well. Some people have been seeking jobs for over a year. And people become anxious. Oh, yes, we're going to be anxious, but God alone. God alone. Trust in God alone. Place your hope in God alone. And don't set your heart on the world. And then lastly, it ends with truth. One thing God has spoken. Two things I've heard. That's an expression. It's another way of saying this is important. Write it down. This is the absolute truth. When I was in seminary, our theology professor would always say, underline this, you know. So I would do that. And then at the end, I look at my book and the whole book is underlined, you know. It's like, but here, David is saying, underline this. Truth is what? Power belongs to you, God. And with you, Lord, is unfailing love. So power belongs to God, and love is God's. Just remember those two things. Power belongs to God. He is in control of all things. He is almighty. And unfailing love is God's. So if you place your trust in God alone, you are placing your trust in the Almighty God, who is all-powerful. You're also placing your trust in God, who is love. And isn't that what we want? To experience God's power in our lives and to experience his love. And so the invitation is there. We're able to experience God's power and his love in our lives through Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, if he is your rock, if he is your fortress, and if he is your salvation, then you are experiencing his power and his love, his covenant, his unfailing love. And God rewards everyone according to what they've done. So he's the ultimate judge. So no matter what problems you're facing, it's from God's perspective, it's really nothing. So let's place our hope on Christ the rock. Amen? A commentator said this about placing our trust on a rock. So if you have one foot on a rock and another foot on quicksand, that's the same thing as having both of your feet on quicksand. You're going to sink. The only way you won't sink is when both feet are on a rock. But we're trying to manage our lives by keeping one foot on the rock and the other one on quicksand. I think only if I can balance maybe this way a little more today, I won't sink. That doesn't work. Both feet on solid ground. Amen? Yeah. So there are three applications from today's text that I want to draw your attention to. One is, we need to remind ourselves. As David preached to himself, let's read God's word and apply it to us. Let's remind ourselves what Scripture talks about. Let's not wait for peace to come. But let's remind ourselves to wait and rest in God. Second thing is, we need to be people of prayer. We need to cry out to him, cry out our hearts to him. Not superficial prayers, where we're just thanking God for the nice weather we're having. But let's pour out our hearts to him. What's keeping you up at night? What are you anxious about? Pour it out to God. Speak to him. Shout if you have to. But let it all out. And pray. And of course, the last thing is, let's place our trust in Christ alone. God alone, Christ alone is enough. In Matthew 7:24-25, it says this: therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine, this is Jesus speaking, and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. So how do we place our trust? How do we claim Jesus as my rock? As we trust and obey God's word. The rain came down, the streams rose, the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundation on the rock. Storms are going to come in our lives, but how do you remain standing when a storm comes? We have to build on Christ the rock. Amen? And we do this by how? by fixing our thoughts on Jesus. This has been a reoccurring theme as we're studying through Hebrews. Fix your thoughts on Jesus. Consider Jesus. Think about Jesus. Know Jesus. And when we fix our thoughts on Jesus, we are placing our trust in Him and Him alone. So may it be Christ alone. So as we come to the communion table today, I see how Psalm 62, it's preparing our hearts for communion. The table is a reminder. It reminds us that Christ alone is our salvation. We can't trust in our goodness, our records, but we must rest in Christ's finished work. So when we partake the bread, let us remember that it is the rock who was broken for you. And when we partake in the cup, let us remember that this is a love that will never fail. His unfailing love. And when we partake in communion, we are proclaiming what David confessed, that our salvation comes from Christ alone. So let's come to the table. Pray with me. Father in heaven, we thank you for this day where we can come to the table. Lord, as we confessed, and as you have taught us through Scripture, that every time we partake in communion, we are proclaiming your saving death on the cross, Jesus Christ. I ask that you set apart the bread and the cup for a holy purpose today. May it be to our faith your body broken and your blood shed for the forgiveness of sins. May we do this in remembrance of you.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.